This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas. The songs of summer bugs are becoming strong, and the lights of lightning bugs beginning to flicker in the evening twilight. One can hear the soft buzz of a mosquito and the loud buzzing of bees. Recently, I've been noticing large bees humming around my home. Upon further inspection, I noticed they were coming in and out of perfectly formed holes on the side of my primarily wooden house. Come to find out, they're carpenter bees. I invited our Ozarks at Large insect expert, Dr. Donald Steinkraus, entomologist at the University of Arkansas, into my studio to find out more. He began by telling me how the carpenter bee is different from, say, a honeybee.
They're a primitive bee. They are a bee. One thing I think your listeners might be interested in is, you know, all the bees are basically vegetarians, and also they're hairy. They're evolved supposedly from wasps, and wasps are carnivores. So all the bees live on pollen. That's their main protein source. And so these are true bees. The females go out and gather pollen and make a pollen ball, and she puts that in this wooden tunnel she makes. She chews a tunnel into softwoods, usually like pine or fir. And so she makes this tunnel, and she makes a ball of pollen. And it's a pretty big ball, probably about the size of a marble. And then she moistens that with nectar. Then she lays a very large egg on that pollen ball. And then she takes some more sawdust that she's chewed, and she makes a partition. And over the summer, she'll make a number of these pollen balls, lay her eggs on it, and those will eat, the larvae will eat the pollen ball and turn into a carpenter bee. So the big difference is they eat pollen and nectar like a honeybee.
So they're not eating the wood.
Not at all. Yeah. No, they don't eat wood like termites. Termites actually do eat wood, and termites digest the cellulose in their gut. But these bees are strictly just making a nesting site in the wood, sort of like a woodpecker does. The female has big mandibles, and she chews the soft wood and deposits it, and that's when you see that sawdust. And she chews her way in there and makes a tunnel. It's actually quite remarkable. The tunnel is perfectly round, and it's about the size of a dime, about a half inch in diameter. And there, if you see these round, perfectly round dime-shaped holes in the wood of your home, it's almost always a sign of a carpenter bee. There's no other insect that makes that type of hole.
They are perfect. It's about the size of maybe my pinky finger.
Yeah, maybe a little bit smaller than a half inch.
Yeah.
But it's pretty, it looks like someone's taken a really good drill and just drilled up in there, which is kind of remarkable in its own right, you know, that they are able to, you know, use those mandibles on her, you know, her mandibles and chew this wood and make this hole. I mean, it'd be like as if you could chew a hole the diameter of yourself that was then several body lengths of yours, because they usually bore straight up vertically. Is that what you see?
Mm-hmm. Yes, for the most part.
And then they go up an inch, and then they go horizontally with the grain for about 6 to 8 inches, sometimes 12 inches. And so in that tunnel, they raise their young, and they also, the young ones overwinter in there usually. So in the summertime, she's gathering pollen and putting it in that tunnel, and then laying her egg, making a partition, and she'll have like 6 or 8 eggs on these lumps of pollen. And then those will eat it, pupate, mature, and then they'll spend the winter in that tunnel. And the next year they'll come out and they'll mate and start the cycle over again.
So does the same female bee go back to the same spot to lay her eggs?
No, not usually. There's some variation in these life cycles, but usually the female that makes a nest the next year is, so like a female produced this summer will make the tunnel next year, but they will reuse old tunnels. So that's one really good reason to block up and plug the tunnels you have. If you're having a problem with them, are you having a problem?
Yes.
And how many tunnels do you think you have?
Probably like 20 in my carport.
Yeah.
And in my actual house, you know, I don't spend a lot of time walking the entire perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
But sitting on my back porch, there are at least, you know, six. I've plugged at least 6 or 7 holes.
How did you plug them?
With some wood putty.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, with some wood putty.
Yeah, hardwood dowels is a good way, and wood putty. Some people think you should kill the bees within the tunnel because they are in the tunnel.
Well, I have some spray too.
Yeah, so that's a good idea.
Up in the tunnel.
Yeah, there are ways to control them. You know, Seven Dust works well, which is available at places like Walmart. You're supposed to just follow the labels. It's very important. But there's a number of chemicals that you can use to spray into the holes, and then you can. They suggest waiting 12 to 24 hours to let any of the bees which are still out to get back in and hopefully get poisoned and die, and then plug the hole at that point. Because if you don't plug it, they might come back. Other ones might take over that tunnel the next year.
Right.
I think one of the characteristics of these are sort of in the range of solitary bees. They're not really social, and one of the characteristics of these things is they can build up their numbers each year. Because let's say you start out with one tunnel this year. Just one female found your carport, made her tunnel, and she then produces, let's say, four females and two males offspring. Then next year, those four females will emerge, they'll mate, and they'll each start a tunnel. So now you might have five tunnels because one of them might take over the old tunnel. And then the next year after that, you might have 20, and it can build up so that the population can build. So you may end up with, like, eventually hundreds of nests in your wood. And then the wood can get structurally damaged. And in terms of control, many people suggest painting the wood, like plugging the holes and having painted wood. And sometimes people have, I think they really like untreated 2x4s or 4x6s.
That's what they really like to eat.
That's what they like to make their nest in, yes. Untreated wood. And they don't really like, apparently, stains and things won't keep them out.
No.
But painting, a good paint will prevent some of it. But once they've gotten developed in there, you're likely to have to plug the holes and try to get rid of them. One of the things about them is that the males are very territorial. Oh, is this a male or a female?
I don't know.
Does it have a white spot on its face?
It kind of looks like it.
I hope. Because the males are, this is a male. If you look at his face, he's got a yellow spot on it. You want to hold him? You can hold him.
No.
I guarantee you he can't sting you.
I don't think I want to hold him.
Come on now. Okay. But anyway, he can't sting you. The difference between these things, they look a lot like bumblebees, don't they?
They do. They're really loud, too.
So if you see that yellow spot on the front of the face, the female doesn't have that.
They're not burrowing holes in the
side. No, they don't chew the holes into the wood like the female does. They're just there like this is true of honeybee males too, the drones. They're just there to mate. And then he's, like I say, he does this guarding behavior. But the other characteristic with these over bumblebees is bumblebees have a lot of hair on their abdomen, the third part of their body. And these are very smooth. This is the female. So there's the female. Right?
I told you they were loud.
She's very grumpy. Now, theoretically, she could sting me if I pick her up. I'm almost tempted to let her sting me just so I could see what it feels like. I've never actually known anybody who's been stung by a female carpenter bee.
Right.
I imagine it's a lot like getting stung by a honeybee, but so I'm kind of tempted to.
Well, let's not do it in my studio.
Yeah, I know.
Let's not. No,
okay.
No.
But
no.
Anyway, you can see that she gets grumpy if I bother. Oh. She's quite mad, but I don't blame her for being mad because
I don't either.
She's the mother. Right now, she's probably got a nest in some site near the university, and she wants to get back to her pollen balls and laying eggs, and she doesn't want to be confined like this. On the other hand, they do become pests. They are somewhat beneficial. They do pollinate to a certain extent. I don't think they're nearly as good pollinators as honeybees or bumblebees or other solitary bees, but they do carry pollen from one plant to another. But
she's a little bit bigger than the male, I think.
Definitely bigger. Well, that's actually a very characteristic of many
of
insects.
Okay.
I guess one other thing about the carpenter bee is I was thinking about them a bit. I think that they're sort of a man-made problem, like a lot of our problems.
I was going to ask, are they doing this in trees?
Yes, they do.
In nature,
they go into tree branches, dead tree branches.
Mm-hmm.
And
does that go along with where you were going with it being man-made?
Yeah. Problem? First of all, the whole group, this group is called, this species here is Xylocopa virginica. And they tend to be very tropical and subtropical. Like there's no carpenter bees supposedly in Canada, but there's lots in Mexico, and then there's a few in the continental U.S. So they're really sort of a tropical insect. So they people say that their range is expanding, that they're moving northward. I would think that's probably related to global change. You know, the temperature is warmer in summer, and so the semi-tropical insect is moving northward. Then people like you live out in the country. More and more people spread out into the countryside where these bees used to live in a forest. And then you make your carport out of untreated pine or fir. They just really like that soft wood, and you've made the perfect habitat for them to nest in. So I think some of these things are related to why there's so many of them now, is that we create a perfect habitat, the temperature warms up a bit, and so there's more of them than there were in the past. Anyway, she's quite a beautiful, interesting creature, and you know, you've sort of piqued my interest.
That was Dr. Donald Steinkraus, entomologist at the University of Arkansas. This is Ozarks at Large.